Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Philadelphia Eagles remain alive in their quest to be back-to-back Super Bowl champs. They beat the Bears 16-15 yesterday in a remarkable game. Really, other than the Colts-Texans game on Saturday, all the other games, they had their moments.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't like...
Exactly. They weren't great games.
No,
but
the Charger game yesterday was not exactly brilliant start to finish, but the end of the third, start of the fourth had all sorts of drama to it. You know, I don't know how to... We talk about the Lions so often, Stoney, and we talk to so many different fans. I will never tell Lions fans how they should think or how they shouldn't think. I mean, because they've been so tossed around forever. I do feel, though... I'm going to take back what I just said. I felt good for Golden Tate.
So did I.
And I would hope that Lions fans feel good for Golden Tate.
Because everybody liked Golden Tate.
They should.
And he was I wouldn't use the term misused. He really wasn't being used that much at all in Philly.
Yeah.
Because he was their third receiver.
Right. And I was not aware. You know, he was interviewed on the field afterwards by Michelle Tafoya, and she asked him, basically, you know, people around Philly were saying this trade wasn't worth it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that was the narrative in the city of brotherly love. You know, and he gave the whole, I don't hear that kind of stuff, even though we know that he does. But it was cool. It was a neat moment. It was a textbook Golden Tate play, right? I mean, did a good job of faking out the defensive back, Sherrick McManus from Northwestern University, and just peeled open right along the goal line, caught the ball, and fell into the end zone.
And he got crunched on a play earlier in that
yep.
game. It's amazing. Look, you know, for the Lion fans, and you look, you know, you have, you know, what Ebron did. You got Tate. Even the short-term Lion actually played pretty good for a banged-up secondary, Cravion LeBlanc. I remember him, his great glory days for the Lions this year.
Yeah. Was he the defensive back on that play, the Anthony Miller play, the whole took three steps, incomplete?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But I don't remember. But and also on the missed field goal, Haloti Ngata with the pressure, I read.
Yeah.
I forgot he was even on the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. That, and for people who don't know, I mean, because they didn't cover it really in the game itself, the broadcast on NBC, Trayvon Hester?
Hester, yeah.
Of the Philadelphia Eagles tipped the ball, that final kick by Cody Parkey. If you watch, there's like a very, very super slow motion instant replay going around social media. And I think it's pretty clear that he puts his white gloved hand up and you can see his fingers bend back and then bend forward. So whether or not that was the reason why the ball did what it did, I don't know. But
no idea.
But
it could have been pulled left anyway.
I guess we'll never know for sure. I don't know. There's so much to talk about. Where do you even want to start?
Well, everybody, the big narrative from the weekend and just reading social media and watching the game is, you know, defense, you know, running the ball, that type of stuff. I mean, the battle of the trenches. I mean, say what you want in the Philly game, the Great Bears defense, they only sacked Nick Foles once.
True.
Now, Philly doesn't have a great running attack, so they couldn't do that. You look at some of the other games, and the teams that controlled the lines of scrimmage won the games. Now, well, like I said, everybody's the narrative is going to be, oh, defense, we, you know, all the offense. Well, let's be fair here. The Rams, Saints, and Chiefs have not played yet.
Correct. But and the Patriots, by the way, I mean, you're talking about.
Yeah, but they're not
high-powered
offense.
But I do think there's something to this. Now, we'll see what happens coming up this weekend. Like you said, you're exactly right. 23.34 points per game offense has averaged during the regular season. The actual overall number was 27.69, but the Lions brought that down by like three per game. No, 23.34 points per game NFL team scored in the regular season. Through four games of the postseason, the average points scored by a team, 18.13. Now, that does involve, you know, the Texans getting only 7 points against the Colts. It does involve the Ravens essentially doing nothing offensively until the fourth quarter.
Correct.
When Lamar Jackson finally woke up and put positive passing yardage on the board.
And he was so bad that everybody thought they should have put Flacco in just to give him maybe throw the ball deep or something.
Right, and it did involve, let's see, let's count it off here. One, two, three quarterbacks making their playoff debuts in Trubisky and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And obviously you got a guy like Luck who's coming back after a long injury. Dak Prescott had only played, I believe, one playoff game prior to the game on Saturday. And the only real veterans going out there were Foles, Rivers, and Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And you know what? You have to question the play calling in a lot of these games, especially Seattle. I mean, I couldn't – look, it was obvious, you know, that's their bread and butter is run the ball. They couldn't run the ball very
right.
well. Why they didn't have Wilson run more and, you know, more short passes, that type of stuff. It's like some of these coaching decisions really were baffling.
Well, let's start at the end and work backwards then. Okay. Let's start with the Bears-Eagles game and start with that. I don't know – I believe the Lions actually didn't they hire like Randy Edsall a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I know he's gone now, but wasn't he kind of going to be their clock management guy?
What was like, Doug Peterson doing?
What was Matt Nagy doing? Why is he not calling time out there? Like, did he really think the Eagles were going to run out of time? So they get the ball back. I mean, he had three timeouts at his disposal.
Right.
Why didn't he burn all three timeouts there? And knowing that the Eagles were on like the 2 yard line, the Eagles were not going to run out of time.
No.
The clock was not the issue anymore. So you use all three timeouts. If you stop them, great. You just kneel on the ball and the game's over. But instead, he let the clock run off so that when Trubisky got the ball back. And why is Mitchell Trubisky not clocking the ball after the long completion?
I know.
He makes a long completion, then they get up and they call a timeout? Well, I mean,
well,
Nagy, like why in 2019, it is 2019, isn't it?
Yeah.
When they have sleep coaches, they have dietary planners, they have every coach, analyst under the sun. Why do these guys not just turn the clock over to somebody and say, sit in the press box and you tell me when to call a timeout? I am abdicating all clock management responsibilities to you. You tell me when to call it.
See, I didn't have that big of a problem with what Nagy was doing because at least he got a timeout left when they got the ball back.
And they wasted that.
Well, that was the problem. But
what would you rather have? A minute?
Well, that's my argument.
Wouldn't you rather have a
debate.
Minute 45 with no timeouts than 50 seconds and one timeout?
But it wouldn't have been one. I don't think it would have been a minute 45.
You know you can do that. You can clock the ball.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been a minute 45. I had a bigger problem.
If you call a timeout after every single play that the Eagles ran after they got the first down, yes, he would have.
But they used one. They used two of them.
I know. What's the point of using two when you have all three?
Because he wanted to save one when he got the ball back.
Why? So that Mitch Trubisky could call it instead of clocking the ball?
Well, that was ridiculous the way they did it. Then I had a bigger problem with Peterson. What's he calling a timeout for? When they had the ball, you wanted to force Nagy to use his last timeout.
Al Michaels made that point, too.
What are you doing? I was screaming at the television.
No, he called a timeout when the clock was stopped, I thought. Because he called a timeout before the fourth down play. And Michaels even made the point. He goes, you know, there's an argument to be made here that even if the Eagles don't score, they had all three timeouts remaining.
Yeah.
And they could they could call timeout and force the Bears to punt from their own end zone.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that was an odd timeout call.
I couldn't understand that.
But the argument in favor of it is this is our whole season right here.
Yeah.
You know,
better get the right play.
And they did get the right play.
Yeah, although I had no idea. Although it forced the Bears to use a timeout as opposed to an incomplete pass, I didn't understand why they ran up the middle on the first and second down.
I just think that we talk about the word choke, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it is applied far too liberally to the players who play the game in any sport. I'm not just talking about football, golf. I mean, we talk about choking all the time. And I don't think enough credit is given or blame, if you will, to coaches choke. I think Matt Nagy last night choked. I think the moment got bigger than he was ready for. And you can sit there and say, oh, you never coached a game. You don't know everything that goes on. You're damn right I don't. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. But I guarantee you there were plenty of high school coaches watching that game who were saying, call a timeout, use a timeout. I mean, protect the clock right here.
That's always been our debate with even Patricia before that call. Well, some coaches would rather have less time and more of their timeouts left when they get the ball than more time and no timeouts. And it's an argument that goes back and forth. I agree with you. I'd rather have more time and no timeouts than less time in all of them.
I just think when you get into that situation, you're talking about, I just am assuming the Eagles are going to score. Okay.
Right.
I'm going on that assumption that the Eagles are going to score. Guess what? If they don't, you'll win anyway.
Yes.
So the timeouts, I just felt, dude, you know, good. I think at that point in time, you're saying, well, obviously we're going to try to defend them. And if for some reason we don't defend them, then we have the maximum amount of time. A good quarterback, and maybe this speaks more to Trubisky than it does to Nagy. A good quarterback with the ability to clock the ball with a minute 45, that's eons. That's an eternity. And I just felt like they really, really blew that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.